Welcome to our introduction to medical ethics. My name is Father Luke Deisinger, and I will be teaching this course this semester. I'd like for us to look together at the syllabus. I will not be repeating everything that you see, but simply highlighting aspects of it that I think are important, and I will leave it for you to read the syllabus in detail. Let me begin by mentioning that I will be using the terms medical ethics and bioethics interchangeably, although technically speaking, in medical school curricula, they do have some slight distinction. Medical ethics has in the past generally referred to the forms of behavior and the ethical expectations of practicing physicians that in the 19th and early 20th century was called medical decorum, how doctors ought to behave. We now, of course, use the term medical ethics or bioethics more specifically to refer to the much broader category of moral and ethical dilemmas that occur in the context of caring for patients. So you may find during this course that I will tend to use the term bioethics more frequently simply because it is the more contemporary term and it is a more accurate, in fact, in regard to the material that we will be covering. If you look briefly at the very beginning of the syllabus, the description of the course, two things to note. The one is that we will be spending a significant block of time, that is about 5 weeks, on the development of the Catholic tradition of bioethics. That is, we'll be looking at the historical development of our tradition. This is very important because one finds a great deal of false information on the internet and being otherwise circulated concerning the Catholic tradition that, for example, there may have been a time when abortion was tolerated or regarded as acceptable, and that things have subsequently changed in terms of Catholic moral teaching. This is not true, and I think it's very important for us to realize both that it is not true and what, in fact, the real Catholic tradition consists of and where these misconceptions come from. So looking at the development through the centuries of our tradition will be a very important part of our task of both understanding and then developing the capacity to articulate and teach our Catholic tradition of bioethics. Notice, number one, that we would be spending a significant amount of time on the history of the tradition, and then also in that first paragraph, there will be a strong emphasis on Catholic Church teaching documents. And I've listed several of the most important. This is not an exhaustive list. More are listed in the section below under required texts, as we shall see. But these are among the most important: Humanae Vitae by Paul VI, Evangelium Vitae, which was an encyclical of Pope John Paul II, Donum Vitae, Dignitas Personae, both of those by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, as well as Jura et Bona, the document on euthanasia, also by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and the Ethical and Religious Directives by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. These are what we might call the core or substantive documents that we'll be looking at in terms of modern articulations of Catholic bioethics. We will, of course, be looking through two traditional sources, such as the Summa Theologiae of Thomas Aquinas and the moral theological reflections of later theologians, most particularly St. Alphonsus Liguori as well. I've listed in the second paragraph the general categories of subjects that we will be covering, and you can look at those in at your leisure. We'll be looking again at them toward the bottom of this syllabus when we look at the actual way that the course is broken down. These are the broad subjects. The actual breakdown and order of our treatment of them will be found below. If we move on then to the goals, notice that the principal goals are to be aware of and to be able to identify the persons, issues of schools of thought in our tradition. The second will be to make appropriate use of primary and secondary source material, and by that I mean the actual documents that describe the tradition, that is, official church teaching documents and statements by important theologians rather than just descriptions of what those theologians have taught by later authors. We'll be looking at the primary sources wherever possible. And then notice on number four under goals that I've listed the importance of being able to teach these concepts in the context of the new evangelization at the parish level. By that I mean that we will not only be concerned with what the Church teaches, but we will also be reflecting on the question of how to teach it in a way that is comprehensible to Catholics today. The new evangelization, as I'm sure all of you are aware, is directed at the baptized, at people who are already members of the Church, but who are perhaps not very familiar with their own heritage, with their own church's tradition. How do we make this teaching available to people in ways that they can both understand and begin to act on? That will be a constant sub-theme within this course, and I hope an important part of what you'll reflect on in your discussion forums. If we look then at the course format and evaluations, we will be looking in this course primarily at reading texts and then reflecting on them together in web pages that I've designed in association with downloadable lectures like the one that you're listening to. You'll be doing the assigned readings ahead of time, then looking specifically at the web pages that include some of the reading material and in which I will be highlighting it and adding to it. There will also be weekly discussion forums. That is, each week there will be a discussion based on the reading and the lecture and material that you've seen on the web pages, and your active participation in these forums is essential. Please notice the expectations in items B through E of the discussion forum material. That is, the length of time that each forum will be open, that is just over a week and a half, and the fact that late postings will not count. That is, if you do not participate in the discussion forum during the required time, unless you have a very good reason that I've approved, you will not, that your involvement will not count for the final grade, and that material cannot be made up. There will be three criteria for each discussion forum posting, or for the postings in general. Number one, that you've understood the material. Number two, that you've reflected on the pastoral implications of the material, the question of how to apply it, and then, again, how to make it comprehensible. And number three is also a part of that same context, namely, your pastoral response to each other's postings. I will look at your postings as examples of how you, as teachers and as people sharing the Church's tradition, primarily in the context of ministry, will be sharing with one another. That is, it will not be appropriate to engage in combative or dismissive comments. These are intended to be postings that will be of value to each other. Your ability to encourage one another to understand the tradition more deeply will be an important part of this. Comments such as, this violates church teaching, or your posting is heretical without any further explanation, are not acceptable since they are not particularly helpful to the people for whom such observations are made. Under examinations, there will be a midterm and a final that, obviously, since this is a web course, will consist of essay questions, and it will be a take-home which you will have 1 week to return. For those who wish to improve their grades, there will be an opportunity for extra credit research that is described under number three, either a paper or a web page-based or a PowerPoint-based presentation on the material or any aspect of the material that we cover in this course. And then in number four is a breakdown of how the evaluation for the final grade will take place, and a reminder that you have to be very careful, especially in this technological age, about plagiarism. If you copy and paste, or if you quote or otherwise use anyone else's material, you must indicate that this is not your own material and indicate where it comes from. Failure to distinguish between your own ideas and the ideas that you have taken from others will result in a grade of F. Plagiarism is a very dangerous and problematic issue, and of course it has to do with fundamental questions of honesty, both in our presentation of ourselves and in the way we teach. So please be very careful in terms of how you present material, both in papers, examinations, and also in your interactions with one another in your discussion forums. The required texts are listed. The only one that you actually have to purchase is Mays, Catholic Bioethics and the Gift of Human Life. The other texts, Jones and Ford, will be available through the course website. That's also true of all the required documents. All of these materials will be available through the course website as downloadable texts, either in PDF format on web pages or in MS Word document format. There are additional required documents, but here again, these required documents, which are neither church teaching documents nor textbooks, will also be made available through the course website. You don't have to worry about purchasing them or locating them. There are recommended texts which you may wish to use in research. And then let's look now briefly at the course outline and the readings. I won't mention the readings. In general, the course website reference will be there for every section that we cover, because there will be several, sometimes one, but generally several web pages that I've designed which constitute the course website material that we'll be looking at together in association with these downloadable lectures. Let's look at the subjects themselves, beginning with the introduction that you're hearing now, then number two, Principles of Catholic Moral Theology. This will consist of a discussion of the interrelationship between moral theology and pastoral theology, and an awareness of a number of principles and models of ethical decision-making, which I believe you've probably covered in your introductions to moral theology, but which will be important for us to highlight at the beginning of this course. Then the third thing we'll be looking at, and this is a large block that will occupy us until the fifth week of the class, will be the history and development of Catholic bioethics, beginning in week two with ancient medicine and early Christianity, taking us up to the end of the fourth century, then medieval medical care and Renaissance bioethics, a rather long period of time, a very important period of time, since it also includes important theological developments, including St. Thomas Aquinas and the beginning of reflections on very specifically medical issues in the 15th and 16th centuries. Then in week four, we'll be looking at the development of modern scientific medicine and the Church's reflection on the issues that this raises, particularly St. Alphonsus Liguori, the real father of modern moral theology. And in the 19th century, the tremendous expansion and development of medicine with the advent of anesthesia and antisepsis, and the Church's response to particularly issues that arose at this time connected with controversies concerning abortion. Then, in the 20th century, we'll review the development of Catholic moral reflection, particularly in the area of eugenics and informed consent, subjects that we will be looking at in more detail in weeks 6 and 7, and we will review rather briefly the important magisterial documents on bioethics that date from the last century and the 21st century as well. Then, if you look at week 6, we will be looking at the subject of eugenics, the Church's response to the dangerous but still very prevalent belief that the race needs to be improved and cleansed through prevention of reproduction by those who are defined as undesirable, or the encouragement of abortion, or through other means. A very prevalent and prominent idea, particularly in the early 20th century, which lost its prestige after World War II, but which has rebounded and recurred under other names in our own time. Then we'll be looking at section number 5 in week 7, at the question of informed consent and proxy consent, at the question of the use of advanced directives and physician's order for life-sustaining treatments. These documents are important for all of us to be aware of. And then in week 8, we'll move on to the question of abortion, its prevalence in modern society, and the Church's consistent teaching on this subject. Then in week 9, we'll look all too briefly at the development of the theology of the body under John Paul II, and its basis in the important and luminous encyclical Humanae Vitae, widely misunderstood and often disregarded, but a very important and central document in our developing understanding of Christian marriage and in our understanding of our relationships with our bodies. Section 8, Fertility and Natural Family Planning, will be an introduction to natural family planning and also a discussion of the important biology associated with those techniques. We'll be looking then at legitimate assisted reproduction in Section 9. Then in Week 11, moving on to the controversies in regard to in vitro fertilization and the terrible plight of frozen embryos usually produced as a result of in vitro fertilization techniques. We'll then look at stem cell research, both legitimate stem cell research based on the use of adult tissue and the terribly dangerous practice of using embryonic tissue, particularly of taking of destroying embryos for the purpose of engaging in research which has proven not to be valuable, even despite the promises that were made in the early years of this kind of research. Then we'll move on in weeks 12 and 13 to the questions of euthanasia and care for the unconscious. We will distinguish carefully between coma, the persistent vegetative state, and brain death, and we'll look at the ethical implication of these different medical syndromes. In sections 14 and 15, which is also during week 14 of our course, we'll look at the question of nutrition and hydration, the circumstances in which it is obligatory and in which it may not be obligatory, particularly the context of the dying patient, and then we will look specifically at palliative and hospice care in section 15. And finally, we'll conclude with a discussion of organ donation and the vital contemporary issues of Catholic social teachings and the provision of health care. How is this best to be done, and what are the implications of current government insistence on Catholics providing care that is actually against Catholic consciences? These are the subjects that we'll be covering, and we move now to our next lecture, which will be an introduction to Catholic moral decision-making principles